nice the way your church collects all these clothes every year for school children. Just seems like people don't take the time to do that sort of thing anymore.
Yes, well, what amazes me are the things people will donate. I mean, did this person actually think some child would like to wear this to school?
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it? That was some big woman. Wonder where she swam.
I don't know, Charlene. What difference does it make?
None. I was just trying to picture what it must have looked like.
Sorry I'm late. Had to have a little parent-child conference this morning.
Uh-oh, which child?
Both. First, Quint has discovered cuss words. Uses them constantly. It seems like he's picked them up from some kid at school named Vinny. Can you imagine a 7-year-old name that? So now he's saying things like, where the hell is my Flintstones lunchbox? Or, who used up all the damn ink in my Mr. Squiggly?
Well, you know he's only doing it for effect.
Yeah, I know. So I didn't act shocked or anything. I figured I'd just get Anthony to have a little talk with him. You know, he just thinks Anthony's the coolest thing around.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think he's got his work cut out for him, though. Yesterday, Quinn asked me if I'd ever seen a picture of a naked woman. Seems that Vinny has been bringing them to school. And then this morning, I found one of his little notebooks in the car, and he's drawn a naked woman on the back of it. Now, I don't know whether to be more upset because he drew it or because he didn't get everything in the right spots. The top part's pretty good, but I don't have any clue as to what this stuff is.
Looks like he just sort of lost interest.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just been one of those weeks. Claudia and I have been arguing for days about this awful rock music she listens to. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is sick. It has words like, mothers arise and eat your young. I mean, whatever happened to put your head on my shoulder and please, Mr. Postman?
Joe, that's just her way of being a rebel. We did exactly the same thing.
Oh, come on. The most rebellious song I ever played was It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To.
Oh, I love that song.
It's my party and I'll cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. Cry if I want to. You would cry too if it happened to you. Now those are songs that make sense. And just to round out the week, I get a call from Ted and he wants to have dinner with me tonight.
Oh, what does J.D. think about that?
I don't know. He's in St. Louis scouting a ball game. Anyway, why should he care if I have dinner with my ex-husband, father of my children? I mean, it's not like it's going to be anything romantic.
Well, I thought he was supposed to be getting married to what's-her-face.
Tammy. Yeah, he is. Wedding's in April.
Well, what does he want with you?
I don't know, Charlie. Knowing Ted, he probably wants to ask me to serve punch.
Yep. Knowing you, you'll probably do it.
Tell me, Quint, nobody. How's that mall?
Good.
Not too thick, I hope. Good, because, you know, you're my main man. You don't like something, I just send it right back. We do not go second class.
I almost scored a goal today.
Well, now, you know, that does not surprise me a bit.
I'm bigger than some of the other kids on my team. Except for Vinny. He's bigger than me. He also got some naked people in his locker.
Uh-huh. Well, now, you don't have any in yours, do you?
No, but you know what Vinny said? He said his team's gonna beat the damn hell out of us.
And what'd you say?
I cussed him back.
Well, you know what I would have said? I'd say, fooey.
Fooey?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Well, because I, for one, do not use cuss words. I think it makes you common. You know what common means? Well, that means you just like everybody else. You can't think for yourself. And I don't want to be like everybody else, so I've got my own word that I use. Fooey.
I've heard it before, but not that much.
Some of the biggest, meanest dudes in prison used fooey.
They did?
Yes, they did, and didn't anybody mess with them either. You know, the President of the United States uses fooey.
He doesn't look very tough.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. He's the president. The question is, do you want to be like everybody else, or do you want to be a real leader?
What guys in prison said it?
Oh, nobody you would know, just some friends of mine. Guys like Lefty Dogface Patterson, Chainsaw McCarver, Tommy the Skull Sucker Cribs.
The Skull Sucker's real name?
Well, yes, I believe it was. Of course, I never asked because he was just too mean to talk to. Some people say that he actually ate his own mattress.
Would you care for anything else?
You have any chocolate sprinkles?
Sorry, we're all out.
Fooey!
All right.
Aside from using bad language, he's just become such a little capitalist. I mean, the metal detector you gave him. Now he wants me to take him on a big train ride because, as he explained to me with his eyes glazed over, there'll be hundreds of rows of people all leaning back in their seats with all that change just falling out of their pockets. I mean, can you believe it? Some kids dream of summer camp and baseball. Our kid dreams of vacuuming up Amtrak.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little ambition. He'll make a fine bank president.
Yeah, or maybe just a jackass.
Mary Jo?
Well, I'm not kidding. He's just becoming way too materialistic. I want you to stop giving him so many things.
All right, if you say so.
You're not going to give me an argument?
No, why should I? I don't get to see you that often. I sure don't want to spend what little time we have fighting.
You feeling all right, Ted? I mean, you're not dying or anything, are you?
No, I never felt better. In fact, I was just sitting here thinking what an incredibly beautiful woman you've become. I mean, when I first married you, you were still a girl, but now everything about you is different. Your hair, your bone structure. My child bride has become an incredibly beautiful woman.
Oh, my gosh. I'm the one who's dying, aren't I? My pap smear came back to the hospital and they told you first.
You're not dying. Take a compliment, all right? It's just that being around Tammy makes me appreciate a certain maturity in a woman. Don't get me wrong, I love her. And there's a lot to be said for firm thighs. But you know, she doesn't even remember when Kennedy was assassinated. Sometimes that makes me feel really lonely, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sorta.
And the other day, I Want to Hold Your Hand came on the radio and she'd never heard it. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Actually, it's not all that sad.
You know, she tries to do things the way I like them, but she's still just a kid. And as far as cooking, well, she's never going to master your beef Wellington. Now, that was something worth coming home for.
Well, I should have cooked it every night.
You're the only one who can make it as good as my mother.
I'm sure you think that my thighs are like your mother's, too.
Are you kidding? I loved your body, every part of it. And as far as butts go, yours is unequal. Even better than Tammy's. In fact, in all my travels to medical conventions around the world, I've never seen a better-looking butt than yours. Not even in Tokyo.
What does Tokyo have to do with anything?
Nothing. They just seem to have a high density of good ones over there. Mary Jo, I'm a surgeon. My eye can discern superior tissue 100 yards away from the specimen in question, and you are one fine specimen.
I just have one question. Mm. Where were you when we were married?
And then, there was a time. Davis Henderson and I took those nurses skiing in Tahoe, and you found out about it. Oh, and when I got home and the cab pulled up outside, all my clothes were on the front lawn. Not in suitcases or boxes or anything, just on the lawn everywhere. I mean, nobody else would have the guts to do something like that but you. It was so outrageous.
Even I started to feel a little bad when I realized that all your little jockey shorts had become frozen to the shrubs.
I remember. And the cab driver's looking at me, and I don't know what to say. So I just say, well, looks like my wife's getting ready for another garage sale.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Hell, I had to say something. It was embarrassing.
We're going to wake the kids.
What?
We're going to wake the kids.
I like how that sounds. Say it again.
Ted.
Okay. But I want to ask you one serious question.
Don't you think, what's his name? J.D.'s ears are a little big?
No, I don't. But his ears look big in a baseball cap. And you know perfectly well what his name is.
Look, it's nothing personal. He just sort of strikes me as looking like a young Lyndon Johnson. I mean, if you like the type.
I do. And as long as we're on the subject, he thinks of you as... not tall.
What do you mean, not tall? What did he say?
He said you were short.
He said that?
Yes, he did. I wasn't going to tell you, but you insulted him.
I didn't insult him. I was just commenting on his ears and... What do you mean by little jockey shorts?
Nothing. It was just a little joke.
You know, it is highly unlikely that the kids you have with him will ever be as cute as ours.
Ted, I don't want to hear this.
Okay. I'm just taking cheap shots because sometimes I don't like the thought of you and him. Well, actually, I never like the thought of you and him. But I can't help it. I just seem to be thinking about it more and more lately. And you always look so enticing in bed. Kind of like a puppy. Playful, but fragile. And your hair. I was such a dumb bastard, you know.
I just can't believe it. I mean, if somebody had told me a week ago that Ted Shively would like to be married to me again, I would have said, you're out of your mind. I would have said that Gary Hart and Donna Ross have a better chance of being together again than me and Ted Shively.
Seem all that strange to me that Ted's interested. After all, you're the one who wanted the divorce, not him.
Oh, come on. He wanted it. He told me in 100 little ways.
How?
By having 100 little girlfriends. It wasn't that I wanted a divorce. It was just that final, ridiculous story of his that just put me right over the top.
Oh. You mean what he said about you finding that brassiere in his luggage?
Yeah.
He had a brassiere in his luggage? How'd he explain that?
He said that it was a cloth halter case for a double prosthesis that he was working on. And he isn't even involved in research. I mean, it was just too insulting.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's changed all that much to me. I mean, if he's going around trying to reconcile with you while he's engaged to somebody else.
Well, I mean, he didn't exactly come right out and say it. I can just tell.
Mary Jo, what exactly did he say?
Well, he said that I was beautiful. I think incredibly beautiful was the term he used. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like much, but Ted just doesn't talk that way.
Well, he sure talked that way to me when we were dating. I mean, if he told me I was incredibly beautiful once, he must have said it 1,500 times.
And... then he said that I was enticing, sort of fragile and playful like a puppy.
Yeah, I got that one too.
And then he said that I had a better looking behind than anyone in Tokyo. Which is a pretty big compliment since, according to Ted... Tokyo is the good-looking behind capital of the world.
Well, still, I haven't heard anything about a reconciliation.
Well, I told you, Julie. I mean, it was just a feeling between us. I mean, why else would he want to have dinner with me again tonight?
You're going to dinner again tonight?
Yeah.
What's this Tammy Pershing have to say about all this?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure she's got things to do. Ted's enrolled her in a cooking class. Besides, he said he had something really important that he wanted to ask me.
Yes, well, knowing him, he's probably discovered that she's infertile and he wants you to have children for them.
Now, come on, Julie. I know that Ted can be a jerk, but I actually think that maybe he has changed.
Mary Jo, you're beginning to sound like you're interested. I cannot believe this. What about J.D.?
I didn't say that I was interested. I said that I think that it's interesting that this whole thing has just come full circle. I mean, after all those years putting him through medical school and then him just kind of casting me aside like I was some kind of non-person. I mean, for the first time, he sees what he gave up. And I'm sorry, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't get some kind of satisfaction out of that.
Oh, you mean like Splendor in the Grass? You know, when Natalie Wood got out of that mental hospital and she went to see Warren Beatty, he had that big, fat, homely wife and all those kids that lived on that dirt farm. You know, it's not that Natalie wanted to hurt Warren, you know, but after the way he treated her, it probably did make her feel kind of good to see him in those big, filthy old coveralls.
Go on with what you were saying, Mary Jo.
Well, I can tell you from experience, all of my ex-husbands have tried to reconcile with me. It never works. Oh, sure, they'll make promises the first few weeks. They'll say things like, okay, we'll never try and come into your bathroom again, or we'll never make love to you on the days you just had your hair done, or we'll never ask you to do anything other than lie the way you normally sleep, flat on your back, head on pillow, but that never lasts.
Go on with what you were saying, Mary Jo.
Oh, that's it. It's just I've never seen Ted so attentive. And then last night we went up to check on Quint, and he was asleep, and Ted and I were just standing there looking at our son together. It was like there we were with our little boy in his Garfield pajamas, the moonlight on his face, and Ted looked over at me and smiled, and just for a moment it almost felt like we were a family again. That's all it was, you know? Just a moment.
You know, I was afraid you weren't gonna come tonight.
You were?
Yeah, for some reason, we've never been able to maintain a feeling of goodwill for longer than 24 hours.
Well, then we've just set a new record.
To the new record. Mary Jo.
Let's be real careful tonight. Not say anything that we'll be sorry for, okay?
Excuse me. Are you Mrs. Shively?
Yes, I am.
You have a phone call. You can take it in the bar.
Thank you. Excuse me, I'll be right back. Hello?
Hi, honey. How you doing?
J.D. How'd you find me?
Well, I returned your call at the store and Charlene put me through.
She did, did she?
Listen, sweetheart, my plane gets in about 12:40, but I don't want you coming out to the airport that late, so I'll just take a cab, okay?
No, I don't mind. The kids are spending the night with somebody.
Oh, no, no. Now, remember, your front tires are low. I'm going to have them checked tomorrow, all right? So I'll just see you when I get there. Mary Jo.
Yeah?
I have really missed you.
Did anybody ever tell you you have great timing?
What?
Nothing. I said I like your ears.
Oh, okay. Listen, honey, I gotta run. I love you.
Yeah. Me too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is that him?
Yep.
Checking up on you, huh? You know, at first I thought that might be an emergency about the kids, and then I was thinking how you'd know exactly what to do. You always did. See, that's the trouble with these young girls. They don't know anything. I used to love how you could mix a good martini and give a great massage and keep everything in order, like color-coding my shirts and socks, filing all the receipts in my wallet. Those are things a man comes to appreciate as he gets older.
Ted, before you go any further, I just want to say something. You keep telling me that you've changed. I've changed, too. When I hear you talk about us, all I hear is what I can do for you. That phone call just now, that was from a man who worries about me. Worries about things like if my tires are all right, what to get me for my birthday. When he's out of town, I know that I can call his room night or day, and I won't have to hear 14 laughing bimbos in the background. You know what? I like that. I think I deserve it. And I just realized that I wouldn't jeopardize that for anything in the world. But I sure do appreciate the offer.
The offer?
Of you and me getting back together.
You mean you thought that I wanted a reconciliation?
Isn't that what you've been talking about?
No, I was just glad to see you again. I want us to be closer.
And all that stuff about Tammy?
Pre-wedding jitters.
Phooey.
What?
I said phooey. It's a new word at our house. So, if you didn't want to reconcile, what was the big question you wanted to ask me?
Big question? Oh! Huh, I just wanted to know if it'd be okay for Claudia and Quint to be in the wedding.
Sure. Of course. You're their father. They love you. As a matter of fact, on some level, we all love you. Well, I should be going.
You have to?
Yeah. I'm gonna surprise somebody at the airport. Don't get up. And Ted, even though that you couldn't admit that you wanted me back, I just want to leave you with a little piece of consolation. You wouldn't have been happy with me. You see, I just don't think that you could keep up with what I require. So I'm just going to walk out the door. And I wish you every happiness with Tammy. Meantime, there's no law that says you can't just sit back and enjoy the view as I go.